Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective, featuring the friars from St. Patrick Church in Columbus. And now, Dominican Dimensions.
Welcome to the Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. Today I'm joined in the studio by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. Let's begin with a prayer to Our Lady. Hail Mary,
full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Today we're going to speak about the Rosary, the Summa, that is the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas Aquinas, and the Bible, and how they connect together. There was a wonderful old priest, now he's gone to God, Father Pat McGovern.
Oh, yeah, he was a former Navy man. Was
former Navy man, enlisted in the Navy before he entered into formation for the priesthood. The bit of a salty old good soul, great devotion to the Rosary.
Always wear that military haircut, you know,
That's right.
The flat tops. Yeah.
That's right. Yep, he had a great homily that he would give at Rosary conferences about the Rosary is the anchor of a ship that anchors you and keeps you getting blown away in the storm. But anyway, he would have sayings he would say to our student brothers at the House of Studies where he was. You know, he would see a brother walking by carrying a whole pile of books, and he would say, "Brother, come over here." And he says, "Yes, Father." "Brother, there's only three things you need: the Rosary, the Summa, and the Bible. And if you have to get rid of one of them, get rid of the Bible. If you have to get rid of the other one, get rid of the Summa and just pray the Rosary." So, you know, I guess if you're in the Navy, you have to pitch things overboard sometimes. In an emergency, you have to think about what's most important. But to him, I think he obviously, you know, he didn't think the Bible was unimportant, and he didn't think the Summa, which is St. Thomas's summary of the whole Catholic faith, he didn't think that was unimportant either. But he had such a great devotion of the Rosary, and we're going to talk today about how all those three are really connected together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably would have done it slightly differently. I mean, if I basically agree with him, but if you had, I think I'd get rid of the Summa first, and that's a horrible thing for a Dominican to say.
Actually, might have said that.
He might have said that.
I think
he
might have said that, actually, to his credit.
Okay. Because the Summa Theologiae is theology, which is the reflection on God and his work with us, whereas the Bible, which is the next thing, is the record of God's dealings with us, you know, and it is the Word of God come to us in human words. So nothing more refreshing, nothing more wonderful to have coursing through your mind than the very words of Holy Scripture. But if you had to get rid of one of the two of them, I'd keep the Rosary, because the Rosary has the essentials. It is Scripture. You know, it's the Hail Mary and the Our Father and the Glory Be. All these words, all these patterns can be found in Scripture. And furthermore, I would suggest that you still have, he didn't say go without the Mass, obviously. So there is still a place for, even if you don't have a Bible, to learn Holy Scripture in the course of the liturgy. And then to take those Scriptures that you hear and hopefully commit as best you can to heart, home, and weave in your own mind into a coherent whole. And to do that, I would suggest there is no better tool than the Rosary. The whole Rosary, as was given to Our Blessed Lady, and this is not to denigrate the luminous mysteries given to us by St. John Paul II, but the centuries-old pattern basically follows the same pattern of the Summa Theologiae.
Explain that. What is the pattern of the Summa Theologiae?
Well, it's called the Exodus Redditus pattern, that for our sake God became one of us in Jesus Christ, that he made peace between heaven and earth with his work upon the cross. And in the resurrection ascension, he draws his own humanity into heaven. And with that humanity, forges a path for his Blessed Mother and for us, so that the head of the church draws the whole church, including the saints, after him. So this corresponds, of course, to Christ's entry into the world and the joyous mysteries of the rosary, the work of the cross and his sacrifice in the mm-hmm. sorrowful mysteries, and the return to heaven, you know, the reditus, the return to heaven in the glorious mysteries.
Right. So, yeah. So the exitus reditus is from the perspective of heaven, or even from the perspective of the Trinity. The exitus is exiting from heaven, going to earth, going out, and then the reditus is coming back.
That's right.
Into God.
That's right. You know, and they form sort of a, there's a circular movement here, mm-hmm. you know, of Christ going forth from the Father, accomplishing his work, and then returning to the Father. And as I said, this is the pattern of the rosary, and I'd suggest it, well, it's the whole meaning of the Bible,
hmm.
that the Bible is talking about all these things. Now, you know, if we call it the rosary, it's a rosarium. Originally, a rosarium or a florilegium was a collection of verses of the scripture. And actually, of course, the rosary is that. As I said, it's, you know, from Matthew and Luke especially, you know, the Our Father and the Hail Mary. But, you know, it is a gathering of texts together. Mm-hmm. And that's the beginning. If you think about how, if you're going to do a May crowning for Our Blessed Lady,
mm-hmm.
you know, you would weave, you know, you start with a few flowers, and then you use those, that basic set of flowers, to weave more flowers and to add and make the crown thicker and richer and more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this is, I suggest, what, in fact, our forebears in the order did with the rosary, that you start with these passages, these 15 mysteries, which you can point to Bible verses for, and then gather other verses to them.
Mm-hmm.
And in this way, you act like the bee, you know, who is able to visit blossoms and without hurting him, nevertheless brings a trove of nectar and honey back to the hive for sweetness. You know, I think Sirach says, least is the bee among winged things, but she reaps the choicest of all harvests. I think we do that with the rosary. You know, we are able to take, and having a form to think about these things gives us an easier way to approach our own understanding of the deep things of the faith.
Mm.
So, yes, so the Bible is absolutely crucial if you're going to find the flowers to weave into a crown to the glory of God and Our Lady. And the theologies are important to keep it straight. But in some ways, the theology is already built, worked into the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so enables you to bring home all those things that that you might hear about, think about, and have a way to hang them as a theological whole for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever found this kind of thing useful in the rosary. I do use the rosary a lot when preparing my sermons.
Certainly. Yes, to use those mysteries as a springboard, because even one mystery obviously points to other mysteries of the rosary, but other mm-hmm. mysteries outside of the rosary that aren't directly mentioned in them.
Yeah.
You know, like the first joyful mystery, part of the exitus, part of the coming of the word, mm-hmm. you know, into creation,
yeah.
you know, through Mary, being incarnate in her womb, under her heart. You know, that in itself is a profound mystery, but mm-hmm. points to others. You know, it points to the Old Testament. You know,
the patterns that God is using.
It was how it fulfilled,
yes.
you know, the prophecy, some of the prophecies of the Old Testament, which St. Matthew points out, how it fulfills creation, you know, how Mary, you know, is the new Eve that's hinted at even in the book of Genesis, you know.
Sort of how the virgin earth receives the word of God in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a new creation springs up from those waters over which the Father speaks his word, and the Spirit hovers to communicate
it. Right, so the Spirit overshadows yeah. Mary, you know.
So the rosary is profoundly Trinitarian,
mm-hmm.
which is the first big structure, and it also is incarnational, because it shows the incarnation of the Word of God, not only in the actual incarnation of our Lord, But the many ways in which the word of the Lord is manifested throughout the whole history of salvation, which is recorded in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can look at, if you long as we stick on the Annunciation, you know, any reference to water can be seen as pointing to the Virgin's womb in which the word of God takes shape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then for our own baptism, when we are first overshadowed by the Holy Spirit,
hmm.
You know, so that even before we have the luminous mysteries, I would suggest that the Annunciation points to the baptism of the Lord. You know, that as Christ becomes visible, you know, manifest, you know, in human in the womb of the in the waters of Mary's womb, so will the Son of God be publicly manifest in the waters of the Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there he will be revealed. I mean, he will be again overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. It will come upon him, remain not as a cloud, but as a dove. We have the Father speaking, you know, and the one who stands in the waters receiving the will of God. In a sense, you know, he who is always obedient to the word of God also imitates his mother in her obedience.
Right.
Which came first chronologically. Which obedience of Mary is also part of the grace she is given, which flows from the cross of him who is eternally obedient to the Father's word.
Mm. Right, yeah, so it's pretty easy to make those connections, you know, to the whole of Scripture, just from the mysteries of the Rosary. How about you've spoken a little bit about the exitus, you know, coming, you know, God going out, creating. Maybe we could also speak a little bit about the coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But first, you're listening to The Dominican Dimensions, a half hour of lively discussion about Catholic issues from a Dominican perspective. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish in Columbus. I'm joined in the studio by my confrere, Father Stephen Dominic Hayes, and we've been discussing the Rosary, the Summa Theologiae of St. Thomas, and the Bible, and how they're all connected together. We've reflected about how the Rosary itself comes. The prayers of the Rosary come from Scripture. The mysteries of the Rosary come from Scripture, and they're connected to St. Thomas's Summa Theologiae because the Summa is based on a pattern of God himself, how God creates the world, sends forth the Word into creation so that the Word becomes flesh, and how the Word become flesh brings us back, opens the door for us to return to God, from whom we turned away at the sin of our first parents. And we've spoken a little bit about the exitus, the going out from God. Maybe we could speak a little bit now and reflect on the reditus, the coming back to God, and how the Rosary shows us that.
Well, there's a lot there. I think some of the mysteries are a little hard to call scriptural because we don't have clearly a reference to, say, Our Blessed Lady's Assumption or
right. The or later ones
Coronation,
are not direct.
Except they are there. They're hidden. I think they are there. I mean, if I'd, for the Annunciation, Assumption, I would put the last verse of chapter 11 in the book of Revelations as mine because, you know, in the Visitation, Our Lady appears as the Ark of the Covenant, you know, God visiting his people, the presence of God manifest in a hidden way in that container, you know, upon which the presence of God, which with the presence of God rests, and I mean Our Blessed Lady. You know, so in one sense, in Elizabeth's words, you know, that, you know, how is it the mother of my Lord should come to me? Whereas, David says, when the ark is coming up to Jerusalem, how is it that the ark of the Lord should come to me?
Hmm.
You know, both are unworthy. Both are speaking in the Holy Spirit. Both identify, one, the ark is the presence of God, and the other, you know, the mother who is the new ark,
mm-hmm.
you know, that bears him who is the law of God come not on tablets of stone, but in human flesh, in human flesh with a human heart. And the word of God, the manna from heaven, you know, that comes down instead of the manna, you know, which was in the old Ark of the Covenant. And then, of course, you have this last verse, let's see. The last verse, then God's temple in heaven was opened. This is 11:19. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen in the temple. And this is just before the revelation of the church as the woman facing the dragon, you know. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me an appropriate place to have a reference, even if it's a hidden one, to our Blessed Lady.
Her assumption into heaven.
Exactly. And then, of course, you have the bride, you know, in furthermore in Revelation, you know, who, you know, the assembly of Christians, the first of all, whom is our Blessed Lady. You know, and you can the Psalms talk about the queen who stands at the king's right hand, arrayed in gold. You can talk about St. Paul's references. If we have lived with him, then we shall reign with him.
Right.
And so all these, I think, can be seen as referring specifically to the mysteries of the Assumption and then the coronation of our Blessed Lady as Queen of Heaven and Earth.
Right.
And then you can look at all the other verses that gather us up with her. In those.
Right, the reditus coming back
to
God. What God has created and has gone forth from him is drawn back into the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. You know, so you have the wedding of the king. My heart overflows with noble words. To the king I must sing the song I've made. With the maidens, the bride of the king coming in, the church, but already at his right hand, as I said, the queen stands, the Gebera, the Jewish queen who is not the king's wife, but the king's mother.
Right.
Who stands, if it's a Jewish kingdom after all, mm-hmm. who stands at his right hand, you know, and here is the great lady who mm-hmm. is Our Lady,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Our Lady leads the way of creatures, mm-hmm. of created beings, back into God.
And we already find things like some of the moral teaching of the church, and the moral teaching which you find in the Summa Theologia, mentioned in these mysteries, insofar as the coronation of our Blessed Lady is the reward for the life she lives, cooperating with the grace of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that is the prelude and prophecy and opening for us who are children who find ourselves mm-hmm. under her mantle. You know, mm-hmm. in all these ways, I think we can find, you know, the not only in the literal sense of the text, you know, for prophecies of things to come, but Christ is going to be on every page of the Scripture. We'll find him all through the Rosary. We'll find our Blessed Lady there as well. You know, mm-hmm. if we look, and we'll find where we are to go, how we were to the crisis that the confrontation with the Word of God comes. You know, I mean, even the judgment. You know, the crown of thorns. You know, when the Christ is brought out before the people. You know, and they cry out, you know, I mean, Pilate, he says he doesn't want to send an innocent man to death. He will, because it's to his advantage to do so. But the crowd, you know, led by the high priest and the chief priest, says, let his blood be on us and our children.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sounds like a horrible thing until you realize that the people of the covenant in the Old Testament were sprinkled with that blood.
Right, the blood of the Lamb.
You know, and this blood, you know, in spite of the repudiation of our repudiation and our sins of his kingship, moment to moment in our lives. I mean, we repudiate his kingship when we commit even venial sin. We turn against his majesty, his glory, his right to summon us to justice. And yet, you know, that same moment he turns that crown of thorns into a thing of by which he wins the honor of being King of Kings, of universal high priest, of the one who sprinkles us with his blood in the sacraments mm-hmm. and right. consecrates us to himself in spite of our sins.
Right.
You know, and gives us an opportunity to turn and turn and turn again.
Right.
And this is all the Rosary, you know. And this mm-hmm. is, of course, of the three, you can read a book of theology and not be in the presence of God. You can study this as a pure discipline or as mm-hmm. a literary artifact or historical artifact. Even the Bible, you can treat the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're praying the Rosary, you actually have to put yourself in the presence of God Most High. And
right.
that is the thing that is most important. Not that we read about God or we know about God or think of other people's experiences, but that we ourselves, you know, turn to him in adoration, you know, beseech him in contrition, you know, put our knees before him in petition and give thanks for not only the gifts we have received, but the gifts we are about to receive from him.
Right.
As moment to moment he summons us further along the path to grace, as he who came into the world now draws us up in the nets of God, mm-hmm. you know, composed of grace after grace.
Mm-hmm. That's I guess I'd never thought of that before, how you can, you know, there are people that could get a degree in theology or a degree in scripture study mm-hmm. who may be very, you know, uncertain themselves personally about whether they believe it. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, when you pray the Hail Mary, you are literally saying the words of the angel.
Right.
You are addressing Mary directly. Right. You don't say, the angel said, Hail, full of grace. You say, Hail, full of grace.
You speak the mind of God.
You speak the mind of God to Mary. And then when you're saying Our Father, you're not just saying the Lord taught his disciples to say. You are saying Our Father. Right. This is my Father. This is our Father. And when you say glory be to the Father, mm-hmm. you are giving glory be right. to the Father. Yeah. You are praising the Holy Trinity.
Yeah. And insofar as you honor Mary in the rosary, you are also taking stock of she who is the mother of us all, and who is the first of Christians, mm-hmm. which means we're also talking, when they say in the Hail Mary, of not only the things that God has planned for Mary, but the things that he has called us to as her children. Mm. Not maybe in so perfect a way, but in a real way, in a true way, in a grace-filled way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the rosary, going back to Father Pat McGovern, who we started with a quote, mm-hmm. a great story from, God rest him, He would give a wonderful talk about the rosary as an anchor for, mm-hmm. say, a naval vessel, a ship yep. on the sea, you know. And I don't know a whole lot about it. I think you know more than I do, Father Hayes. But
yeah, my family's naval.
But I know that when a ship is in a storm, first they'll tend to take them out to sea at least a little bit because mm-hmm. they don't want to be smashed against the pier, you know, or the docks. But they'll drop anchor. You know, because mm-hmm. Because the wind will naturally, you know, align the ship with the wind and keep it from
right,
getting hit broadside by the waves.
Actually, it's a very simple way to keep the nose of the ship into the wind
mm-hmm.
and minimize its tendency to capsize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you let the anchor out, it grounds on the bottom, and the wind pushes the ship and will naturally push the ship into a way when it holds its nose in the wind with the anchor.
Right. And that's the way the ship is
safe and
least
secure,
likely to sink.
Even in storms.
Mm-hmm.
Even in storms.
Right. So the rosary does that for us, Father McGovern would say, mm-hmm. that it anchors us even when things seem really chaotic and things are dark, you know, and everything else is heaving up and down. Mm-hmm. The rosary anchors us to the solid truth, even though that solidity is invisible, is beyond your sight. Nevertheless, it anchors you to that, which is solid, which is going to keep you pointing in the right direction,
and
which is going to protect you in the chaos.
And keeps you oriented, using the metaphor of the wind in a different way, keeps you most oriented to best profit from mm-hmm. the blowing of the Holy Spirit upon you.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, you know, so that I think of, the rosary has been used for other things. It's been seen as a font of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, St. Louis Bertrand used to place a rosary around the neck of the sick and pray over them. Mm-hmm. I think other people will talk about the rosary becomes a place where God is able, he gets you in a place where you're vulnerable to his grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you've got your mind on the Father, working on the Son. You see the grace that emerges through the Holy Spirit, who overshadows the beloved of God, our Blessed Lady. And in this moment, meditating on these things, I think he can do great things. I remember mm-hmm. when the night my father died, for instance, and this is just a blessing of grace. You know, the student master got me up in the middle of the night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm in Washington. My father's dying in Boston. And took a sudden turn for the worse. He was hospitalized for a heart attack. And my brother's on the phone, you know, the intern, and he says, better get up here, Dad's dying. And it's 8 hours between the places. I can't get up there. And so I went to tell God, but be praying for him. So I went to the chapel and just in the student take floor and just prayed the rosary. And I got to the crucifixion, and all of a sudden it came to me like a shock that my father had just died. And I wept, and I finished my rosary, and I called the hospital. And indeed, exactly at that time, my father had passed. My brothers and sisters were already, and my mother were already gone for the hospital. The nurse was a little upset, but I had been, in a sense, at his bedside through the power of that prayer that had kept me facing in, I think, the right direction so the Lord could give me a way of being close to my father in his passage. You know, and so, as I said, I wasn't able to be there physically, but, the Lord did give me a way to participate in it. And so this, as I said, there's more stuff than even stuff for the head here, and stuff for the heart. There's stuff by which you can be vulnerable to grace and let the arrow of divine love pierce your own heart.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for the Dominican Dimensions. My name is Father Stephen Alcott, and I'm a friar at St. Patrick Parish here in Columbus. I've been joined in the studio today by Father Stephen Dominic Hayes. Let's end now in our prayer to St. Dominic. O light of the Church, teacher of truth, rose of patience, ivory of chastity, freely you have poured forth the waters of wisdom. Preacher of grace, unite us with the blessed. Amen.
Dominican Dimensions is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of Dominican Dimensions and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.